All right, good evening. Welcome to the July 28th, 2025 Planning and Design Commission. Meeting is now called to order. Will the clerk please call the roll to establish quorum?
Thank you, Chair. Members, please unmute your microphones. Member Lee?
Here.
Member Tao?
Here.
Member Lamas is absent. Member Naibo?
Here.
Member Caden?
Here.
Member Hernandez?
Here.
Member Macias Reed?
Here.
Member Ortiz?
Here.
Member Blunt?
Here.
Vice Chair Chase?
Here.
Member Reschke is absent. Member Thompson is absent. And Chair Young?
Here.
Thank you. We have quorum.
All right. I would like to remind members of the public in chambers that if you would like to speak on an agenda item, please turn in a speaker slip when the item begins. You will have 3 minutes to speak once you are called on. After the first speaker, we will no longer accept speaker slips. We will now proceed with today's agenda. Please rise for the opening land acknowledgments in honor of Sacramento's Indigenous people and tribal lands. To the original people of this land, the Nisenan people, the Southern Maidu, Valley, and Plains Miwok, Patwin, Wintun peoples, and the people of the Wilton Rancheria, Sacramento's only federally recognized tribe, may we acknowledge and honor the Native people who came before us and still walk beside us today on these ancestral lands by choosing to gather together today in the active practice of acknowledgement and appreciation for Sacramento's Indigenous people's history, contributions, and lives. Please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right. Clerk, are there any members of the public who wish to speak on the consent calendar? That's our first item.
Thank you, Chair. I have no speaker slips on the consent calendar.
Great.
Actually, for the record, there is no consent calendar on this meeting.
Oh, there isn't?
No. We go right into public hearing. Public hearings.
Is there?
It's a special meeting.
Oh, because it was a... Got it. Okay. So we can just go directly into our public hearing then?
Yes, sir.
On our agenda. Okay, no director's report.
I do have a director's report.
You do have a director's report. Okay, there we go.
I do a brief director's report this evening. Thank you, Chair. So the city is currently working on the renewal of its pro-housing designation with the state's Department of Housing and Community Development, and we are seeking public feedback. The pro-housing designation ensures the city maintains a competitive edge for the many different state funding opportunities, and it gives us an opportunity to highlight the many policies and programs that we have in place to promote housing development in our city. Staff is seeking input on the draft application through August 15th, and you can find more details on the city's webpage. If you just type in your browser, Pro Housing, City of Sacramento, you'll come directly to the page where you can be able to see materials and offer input. And conveniently, there will be a presentation to City Council tomorrow evening. It's item 29 on the agenda at 5 p.m., and you can watch that presentation and learn more. And there is a staff report associated with it. Planning staff will give some background to the Pro Housing Designation Program and is asking council for authorization to submit the application and to participate in the program. And with that, that is my director's report. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. All right. We'll move on to the public hearing items. Item one is the Birchway at Natomas Apartments Rezone, P24-033. Are there any disclosures or recusals for this item? Member Hernandez?
Yes, thank you. I received an email from a representative of the applicant. Consistent with staff report, they requested a meeting, but I was unable to schedule a call.
Thank you. All right, you're on.
Good evening, Commissioners. Chair Young. My name is Jose Quintanilla, Associate Planner with the Community Development Department. The item before you is P24-033, the Birchway at Natomas Apartments Rezone, which is a request to construct an apartment development consisting of 378 units, ranging from one-bed, one-bath units to three-bed, two-bath units, and a 165-space facility in the Promenade at Natomas plan unit development. The project site, located at 120 Promenade Circle in North Natomas, is an undeveloped 12.9-acre site zoned Employment Center EC50 PUD with a 2040 general plan designation of office mixed use, or OMU. The area surrounding the site is comprised of offices, multi-unit residential, hotels, restaurants, and other regional commercial services. There is a future light rail station serving the Green Line extension planned south of the project site at the corner of Truxell Road and Gateway Park Boulevard. The project requires approval of the following entitlements: a development agreement between the landowner and the City of Sacramento, a rezone from EC50 PUD to the multi-unit dwelling R3A PUD zone, amendments to the Promenade at Natomas Plan Unit Development Schematic Plan to designate the site for residential and park and ride uses, and an amendment to the development guidelines of the PUD to update language on residential allowances. Site plan and design review for the construction of 378 multi-unit dwellings, resident amenities, 165 park and ride vehicle parking spaces, and other site improvements totaling 350,050 square feet. And a tree permit for the removal of 4 private protected trees and 6 city-owned trees. Because of the rezone and development agreement, the city code requires that all entitlements be approved at the city council. The first entitlement is for a development agreement. All new construction of vacant property within the North Natomas Community Plan Area requires landowners to enter into a development agreement with, or DA, with the city. The DA ensures that proposed and subsequent development on the site will happen in an orderly manner and that developers participate in the North Natomas finance plan. The DA previously approved for this PUD has expired, and all new developments will require the execution of a new development agreement. The applicant requests to rezone the site to the R3A zone to allow for more flexible development of the project site. The Employment Center zone limits residential development to a maximum of 25% of the PUD's EC zoned net acreage. Staff supports the rezone because without this rezone, the proposed development would exceed this 25% residential limit threshold. And the proposed rezone is consistent with the OMU general plan designation. The rezone facilitates the development of underutilized vacant property at a key location in North Natomas by replacing the Employment Center zone with a more flexible zone that can better adjust to fluctuating market conditions. The project site is located within the Promenade at Natomas PUD. The applicant requests amending the schematic plan for the proposed project. Currently, the PUD schematic plan, PUD schematic plan designates the site for a 410,000 square foot office development and a 351 space park and ride facility. In addition to the schematic plan amendment, the applicant proposes a PUD guidelines amendment to allow residential development consistent with the minimum density and the maximum floor area ratio allowed for the site under the general plan. Staff supports the proposed amendments as they are consistent with the proposed existing general plan designation and will allow for greater flexibility for residential development in this PUD. City code requires the fifth entitlement is for site plan and design review. City code requires site plan and design review for all new residential developments. The development consists of 9 three-story buildings with 42 residential units each, a clubhouse building and associated amenities, 2 garage buildings with a total of 15 vehicle spaces, and resident amenities including seating areas, barbecues, a dog park, common open spaces, and a pickleball court. The project complies with all applicable development standards, except for the required maximum front yard setback of 25 feet. Staff supports the requested deviation as the buildings are closer to the North Freeway and Promenade Circle frontages. The front yard of the site is located along the property's narrow Gateway Park Boulevard frontage and currently occupied by a monument sign identifying the project area, as well as some landscaping. This extra front yard setback area will include resident amenities, including a dog park and a pickleball court, providing activation at this corner. The entire site, with the exception of the park and ride facility, will be fenced. The project's primary access will be from a new driveway at North Freeway Boulevard. Secondary access is available from Promenade Circle. Emergency vehicle access, or EVA, is proposed between the apartment development and the park and ride facility, and between the apartments and the commercial development to the west. The EVA between the park and ride and apartment complex will also serve as an exit-only driveway, or as an exit-only, exit-only for vehicles. There are 7 pedestrian gates proposed on the perimeter of the project site, and the project provides a total of 648 vehicle spaces, including 165 spaces for the park and ride and 483 spaces for the apartment development. The 483 spaces include 123 covered spaces, 15 garage spaces, and 345 uncovered spaces. The apartment development will utilize the park and ride spaces until Sacramento Regional Transit purchases or receives the park and ride property. SACRT has provided general conditions of approval detailing the requirements of the park and ride in terms of development and transferring the property from the landowner to Regional Transit. Here are some elevations of the buildings. All right. And the final required entitlement is a tree permit for the removal of 4 private protected trees and 6 city trees. The city trees proposed to be removed conflict with the required deceleration lane on North Freeway Boulevard, as shown on screen. And the private protected trees proposed to be removed on the site conflict with the proposed location of the park and ride facility. The applicant has provided a replacement plan that is consistent with the replacement requirements described in Sacramento City Code 12.56.060. Notification of this project and this hearing were provided to all neighborhood associations, residents, and property owners within 500 feet of the project site. Staff received no comments. Staff recommends that the Planning and Design Commission pass a motion recommending City Council approve the requested entitlements. As the proposal complies with the goals and policies of the 2040 General Plan, in that the development makes use of a vacant parcel to provide much needed housing adjacent to future transit, creates additional for rent housing opportunities, and creates an interconnected neighborhood with pedestrian and bicycle amenities. Thank you, this concludes my presentation. Developer has a few words that he'd like to share with the commission. Thank you.
Good evening, Commission. My name is Randy Ackerman with Graystar. I work as the managing director for Northern California, which encompasses the Bay Area and the Sacramento area. I also have with me Chad Zaxcorn here. He's been involved with this project for a couple of years, as have I, and he's been really in all the details of everything that we're doing. A quick word about Graystar. We are an international company, development and investment and property management. However, we really take pride in the local communities that we operate in, and Sacramento and the Bay Area are certainly part of that. We have another guy that actually lives in Sacramento and has an office here. He's on vacation today, so he will be part of the project as well. His name is Gabe Gardner. And the other thing that we also manage about 4,500 units within the greater Sacramento area. We have several people with an office out of Roseville. The other things that we've done recently in Sacramento, we built about 285 units at Sacramento State a few years ago, and we plan to start a second phase of that project in the near future. And we're also just about ready to break ground on 275 units of a similar type that you saw in Elk Grove that should come out of the ground in very near term as well. So that's a quick overview of Graystar. And answer any questions about Graystar or the company or the product or the project, anything you'd like to go. Otherwise, we really appreciate your support of this wonderful project of building housing for Sacramento. Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
Do we have any speaker slips?
Thank you, Chair. I have no speaker slips on this item.
Okay. Do we have any questions for the staff or the applicant or motions from the commission? Commissioner Blunt.
Yes, thank you. So one thing that I was confused about when reading the staff report was regarding parking spaces, because it mentions the park and ride, but I was trying to figure out whether or not this project actually included parking spaces for residents and visitors. How many parking spaces are going to be outside of the park and ride? Like, how many spots are we looking at?
Thank you for the question, Ed. There are 483 spaces, not including the park and ride facility.
Okay. That's great. Because my concern, especially for this location, it's, you know, we're not downtown, so it's, people are definitely going to need vehicles until the light rail happens, right? Okay. I also am wondering about the Kaiser Foundation health plan of all of this. So they're just the landowner, is that right?
Correct. They are the current landowner. So all of the responsibilities of the development agreement will be transferred over to any subsequent landowners once. But as they are the current landowner, they are the ones that have to be the signatories on the development agreement.
And then Gray Star is going to be managing the property, or are they taking over ownership?
I'll let them answer.
Yeah, I'm happy to answer that. Sorry, I've done this before. I should have just stayed up here. So once the approvals happen, we're working through kind of the last things, working closely with Kaiser. We'll be acquiring the property and then developing it. We're also actually acting as our own general contractor. And as I mentioned, we also do management, so we'll be managing the property as well.
Okay. I don't have any more questions. I think that this is a great project and I support it. So
thank you.
That's all I have.
Commissioner Caden.
Thank you, Chair. I'm wondering if this was in the staff report to a certain extent, but I'm wondering if you can just kind of shed a little bit of light on how the park and ride facility came to be, and I guess embedded in that question is there's a lot of surface parking in this part of the city, including a huge mall across the street. There's this California State Division of Workers' Compensation there that has that kind of L shape that's even more direct to the future light rail station. Was there ever a conversation about, you know, some sort of agreement with any of those existing parking lots as opposed to creating a new parking lot for the park and ride?
There were early conversations about whether we could, on this side of Truxell, be able to just utilize existing parking as the park and ride spaces, but that does require coordination with a different landowner who has to be cooperative related to that. But this site does have an obligation to provide park and ride. So it could be in the future that the park and ride expands into existing spaces to enlarge it. That's a possibility. Across the street at the marketplace, there is also an obligation for park and ride spaces, which are present. That's my understanding. They're up to the north.
Is there the long-term flexibility for development on the park and ride facility itself, or is it intended that this is going to be a permanent facility?
I think the intention is for Regional Transit to acquire or to utilize the property long term.
Thank you. Fill my time.
Thank you. Vice Chair Chase.
Approval of this item, I'd like to mention that it reminds me of the one that we approved not too long ago to the northwest. Just want to say I'm really happy to see the integration of this residential within a commercial area instead of the traditional, you know, separation of with great distances. So I think it's a good project in a good location. So with that, I do move for approval.
Thank you. We have a motion from Vice Chair Chase. Um, question regarding the development timeline. What's the timeline for this project?
Yeah, I mean, generally, if everything continues to go on the path that it's on right now and seems very well lined up, we hope to break ground later, probably, I would call it, you know, end of third quarter or beginning of fourth quarter this year. And then it's about a 2 years to put it all together to build. First residents will be there maybe, you know, in half that time, but that's about the timeline for the development.
How are you seeing kind of market conditions now as far as being able to just secure financing to build projects of this caliber?
Certainly of this caliber, very good. We, as I mentioned, we'll be starting another similar kind of project in Elk Grove that we recently closed with an investment partner in addition to co-investment with Graystar and a construction lender. And we would look to do the same thing here. We've secured our... can't say the name out loud, but we have our investor, a co-investor with us, and the construction debt market is very favorable right now for us on this kind of a product with the sponsorship that we have, so we don't anticipate that that will be a problem as well. We're starting to, you know, see activity on that front as well and getting those lenders on board, so we're very confident that we'll be able to execute in that time frame.
Great. Thank you. If there aren't any other comments, I think it's a great project. It's well integrated with the community, as Vice Chair Chase said, so I will go ahead and second it. All right. Will the clerk please call roll?
Thank you, Chair. Members, please unmute your microphones. Commissioner Lee?
Aye.
Commissioner Tao?
Aye.
Commissioner Lamas is absent for this public hearing. Commissioner Naibo?
Aye.
Commissioner Caden?
Aye.
Commissioner Hernandez?
Aye.
Commissioner Macias Reed?
Aye.
Commissioner Ortiz?
Aye.
Commissioner Blunt?
Aye.
Vice Chair Chase?
Aye.
Commissioner Reschke is absent. Commissioner Thompson?
Aye.
And Chair Young?
Aye.
Thank you. The motion passes.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Congratulations. All right, moving on to item two is the Rail Yard Special Design District Initiation, M25-005. Matthew, hello.
Sure.
Oh, are there any disclosures or recusals for this item?
I will be recusing myself from this item.
Thank you, Commissioner Naibo. Okay. No one else? Let's see. I think we're ready for you.
All right. Here's my file is not up here. Do we know if the overhead works?
We, our office, this is item two, correct? Rail Yard Special Sign District?
Correct.
Office of the City Clerk did not receive...
it was attached to the staff report.
Understood. Well, we can... Let me see if we want to go on a short recess. We can make that work.
I mean, we could also just move to item three and come back to item two. Does that work for everybody? Let's move on to item three. I think we need to call in Commissioner Naibo back in.
that, we'll be taking a 5-minute recess. We'll be back at 6:01.
Right, we're going to move on to item 3, but before we start with the presentation, are there any disclosures or recusals for this item? Okay, having none. Deja, you're on.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Deja Harris, associate planner with the Community Development Department, and I'm here to present the Independence in Natomas project. This item, P22047, Independence in Natomas, is a request to construct a 170-unit residential development comprised of 85 duplex buildings on 10.8 acres located within the Creekside Planned Unit Development in North Natomas. The subject site is located at the corner of North Park Drive and Kankakee Drive. It is currently vacant and is surrounded by existing single-unit residential development to the west, south, and east, and is immediately adjacent to Wild Rose Park to the north. The site is also proximate to North Natomas Regional Park further south. The requested entitlements for the project include the following: a rezone of 10.8 acres from single-unit or duplex dwelling R1A PUD zone to multi-unit dwelling R2A PUD zone, tentative parcel map for condominium purposes for 170 residential units, a tentative parcel map design deviation for non-standard street section, and site plan design review of a 170-unit residential development with deviations to rear yard setback and accessory building height requirements of the R2A zone. The first requested entitlement, a rezone, would change the zoning of the site from R1A PUD zone to R2A PUD zone. The proposed R2A PUD zoning would allow multiple units on a single parcel. The proposed zoning is consistent with the neighborhood designation in the 2040 general plan, which encourages the development of residential uses and allows a density of 17 dwelling units per net acre. This project requires final decision by the City Council because of the rezone. The second entitlement, a tentative map for condominium purposes, would subdivide the site into 170 airspace units, allowing for individual ownership of each unit. The tentative parcel map design deviation allows for a non-standard street section along Kankakee Drive. The final requested entitlement is for site plan design review for the residential development. The site features 85 duplex buildings and resident amenities, including an outdoor lounge, gym, a dog park, and a pool. The site is designed to include pedestrian connections throughout with access to Wild Rose Park to the north. All units are two stories in height. Floor plans range from 2 to 3 bedrooms with 2 to 3 bathrooms, and each home provides attached garages. Various fencing styles are proposed to surround the development, including 4-foot-tall CMU walls with tubular steel fencing above and courtyard fencing with stucco walls and decorative tiling. This project requests deviations to development standards for rear yard setbacks and accessory building height. Staff finds the requested deviations are consistent with the purpose and intent of the Planning Development Code in that sufficient separation between units with ample open space, landscaping, and privacy is provided, and the proposed accessory structures are compatible with the character and materials of the residential units. Notification of this project and the hearing were provided to all neighborhood associations, residents, and property owners within 500 feet of the subject site. Staff received comments expressing support and opposition to the project. Comments expressing support include an appreciation for the completion of the bike trail on the eastern boundary and support of the increased residential density. Comments expressing opposition are related to concerns about limited on-street parking and traffic concerns. The Department of Public Works has reviewed the project comments. The project will enhance pedestrian safety and calm traffic. Public Works staff is aware of existing congestion issues and actively conducts traffic investigations as they arise. Staff recommends the commission pass a motion to forward a recommendation of approval to City Council. Staff finds the proposal and its density is compatible with the surrounding neighborhood. The project also provides a high-quality architecture design that is consistent with city design guidelines. Lastly, the project builds new housing on a vacant, underutilized parcel, creating additional rental and home ownership opportunities. This concludes my presentation, and staff and the applicant team are here should you have any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Tayshia.
Clark, are there any... Oh, is the applicant going to provide a presentation? No? Okay. Clark, are there any speaker slips for this item?
Thank you, Chair. I have no speaker slips on this item.
Right. Do we have any questions for the staff or applicant or motions from the commission? Vice Chair Chase.
Question. Deja, you mentioned the project would be available for rental and home ownership. Could you explain the difference there, how that would work?
The condo map allows the site to be subdivided into 170 airspace units, and that would allow for individual ownership of each unit. The applicant could choose to rent the units prior to obtaining that approval for the tentative map for condominium purposes.
Okay, so built to rent initially, but could be converted to ownership.
Yes, that's
Thank
correct.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Chair.
Commissioner Lee.
Yeah, just thank you, staff, for and the applicant for putting this together. I just wanted to comment about the parking. It looks like there is plenty of parking there. I know there were some concerns around that. One thing that I do just want to note in the document is that there's going to be an HOA that's formed. And it looks like the CC&Rs are not completed yet, but I would just encourage the city and the applicant to, when you guys form that, take a look at how the parking is managed. And actually a question for staff and maybe the applicant too, will there be any restrictions on using the garage for something other than vehicle parking? Or do we know, or have you gotten that far yet in terms of the CC&R development?
Thank you, commissioners, for your time. Rob White, Lewis Plan Communities. I'm their vice president for the local area in this project. We've been working on this, as you note from the application, since 2022. Thank you to staff finally getting to this point. To answer the question, we, Lewis, plan to own, operate, maintain this property. Even though we are condo mapping it, there is no intention in our portfolio for us to do so, not sell it off, et cetera. So much like Homecoming already that you see, both the original Homecoming and the newer buildings right behind Safeway, we plan to own and manage this as part of that portfolio. So at this point, we don't have any intention of having those kind of things in our CC&R or HOA. Should we get to a point where we do want to actually proceed forward with the condo and do that sale, those options will actually put into the HOA so that they do utilize that, not as storage space, but as actual real parking spaces. So that's our intention.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't have any other concerns. I'm happy to see more housing. I know that this was originally intended for single family housing, and we're going to be seeing duplexes here now. And you know, I keep hearing from a lot of people and from the community that you know, that they're looking for different types of housings, and I'm glad to see that we're improving this item tonight. So with that, I yield my time.
Thank you. Commissioner Caden.
Sorry, Commissioner, was that a motion or was that?
Oh, yes. And with that, I move to approve this item as recommended by staff.
Okay. Okay. Thanks for clarifying.
I was going to make the motion if you weren't, but I'll second in that case.
Got a second. Vice Chair Chase.
Thank you, Chair. Just a quick comment, and I will certainly support this project, but I'd like to ask the applicant to try to look at adding some color variations and contrast in the project, and perhaps work with our urban development services manager. I think anytime there are changes in plane could be a good opportunity to perhaps get a different color to break up the sort of the monotone of each building. I mean, the architecture I think is fine, but I've taken advantage of shifts there. See if you can add some color just to break it up. So thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Okay, I was looking at Commissioner Ortiz. It looks like she was gonna ask a question, but. Okay. I had a couple of questions for the applicant. What went into the thinking of choosing a duplex design for a rental product?
Sure. So Lewis has been looking at a lot of what's going on in the housing market and trying to identify new and coming trends. And as if you know anything about Lewis, we have about 14,000 units across the state of California. So we've done a few of these things, and we've done a few operationally here in Natomas. This type of product, one of our owners, Randall Lewis, thought it might be interesting in this idea of build for rent to actually do it so that you could get the prices even cheaper should you choose to sell. We're doing it instead as a rental product that we plan to own and maintain, but should there be an opportunity to partner either with, in this case, New Homes, which is building in Dixon this exact project, or another builder, that would then tell them, here, this prototype works, and we were able to get this approved in multiple jurisdictions. And I should mention, and I don't know if it was in the staff report, but this project is actually in construction in Dixon. We just broke ground in West Sac. We have an approval for Folsom. We plan to break ground next year, and we are going to Planning Commission in Fairfield. So you're amongst company, and we think that this product is actually gonna be a very needed piece of the housing market, something that you don't typically see, and duplexes slightly in a different way. So.
Right. So I'm just trying to imagine how this might look like. So it's gonna start off as a rental product, and then from there would tenants be given the option to kind of enter into some sort of rent-to-own type of contract? Or
not in this case. If we maintain and operate it, we're going to operate it as one of the Lewis portfolios. Should we ever get to a place where, from a portfolio standpoint, we decide that this is a good option for us to then move them into a condo market, we would take the whole thing, do that, activate that condo mapping, and ultimately move it forward that way as a fully for-sale product.
Got it. And what are you currently seeing right now? I mean, there's not a lot of for sale duplexes, right, in the market. Like, but what are you seeing right now as far as market prices for duplexes?
Sure. It's as you just noted, it's all over the map. What we're hoping is that we can refine this product enough that we can start to see products in the 556 number. The idea ultimately that from a price point, ultimately meets a market that can't be addressed right now, the missing middle. So that would be our intention, is to keep refining this product till we get to that point. The irony is we've already come in with yet another duplex product that has a bedroom down that we're actually experimenting with over in the city of Dixon. Hope to bring that here as well. But as we move forward, again, the intention would be to target right there at that 120 AMI, which is really, truly that missing middle.
Thank you.
Of course.
I'm sort of curious for the planning staff. I mean, when this product was introduced to the team, kind of what, because I'm trying to recall, and I don't know if there's any kind of product like this at this type of scale in the city. And so I'm almost thinking this is kind of a one-of-a-kind kind of trailblazing type of development for the city. Any thoughts on that?
Not at this scale, no. We do see duplex development in Midtown.
Yeah.
Certainly not as an entire complex.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to bring that up, right? Because, you know, for sale home ownership was one of the issues that we've talked about on the dais. And, you know, we have a developer here who's looking to see what the market response will be and seeing if there's a need that can be served. And I just want to commend the planning staff for working with the applicant to see how this thing goes, right? I mean, I think it's well designed, it's integrated in the community. And so so with that, I don't know if there are any other comments, but I'd like to just put this to a vote. All right, let's go with the roll call. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Members, please unmute your microphones. Commissioner Lee?
Aye.
Commissioner Tao?
Aye.
Commissioner Lamas?
Aye.
Commissioner Naibo?
Aye.
Commissioner Caden?
Aye.
Commissioner Hernandez?
Aye.
Commissioner Macias Reed?
Aye.
Commissioner Ortiz?
Aye.
Commissioner Blunt?
Aye.
Vice Chair Chase?
Aye.
Commissioner Reschke is absent. Commissioner Thompson?
Aye.
And Chair Young?
Aye.
Thank you. The motion passes.
Thank you. All right. We're going to move back to item two. And I think Commissioner Naibo, I think we've already gone through the recusal, so I think he's going to step out for this one. The Rail Yard Special Sign District Initiation, M25-005. All right, I think we're ready for you, Matthew.
Excellent. Thanks to the clerk's office, first and foremost. Hopefully that's the only wrinkle in tonight's presentation. So I'm gonna do my best to make sure everything else is running smooth here. So good evening, Chair Young, commissioners. My name is Matt Seitz. I'm senior architect with Community Development. I'm gonna go over this evening the sign district for you. On April 8th of 2025, City Council passed a motion directing the interim city manager or their designee, which just happens to be us, to prepare an ordinance for the city for council consideration to establish a rail yard special sign district. This proposed district would permit, among other elements, the use of digital billboards consistent with the procedures outlined in the city code, section 15.148. and the council rules of procedure. To implement this directive, staff's been directed or is requesting that the Planning and Design Commission initiate the process required under City Code section 15148.940 by adopting a resolution recommending that the City Council designate the Rail Yard Special Planning District as a special sign district. Once the commission adopts the resolution, staff will begin drafting the ordinance for council consideration. Additionally to this, on June 10th, just a month and a half ago, the City Council approved the definitive legal documents identified in the term sheet for the development of both the new soccer stadium with Sac Republic FC, as well as the historic Central Shops live entertainment venue and the associated rail yard infrastructure project. As part of that term sheet, the city committed to bringing forward proposed amendments
to the city code to create this rail yard special sign district and provide allowances for that limited digital signage. Signage is a critical component of the financial feasibility and successful delivery of these projects within the rail yard special planning district. So tonight, staff is seeking commission's recommendation on the following key items. The first is establishing the boundaries of the proposed rail yard special sign district. The second is defining boundaries of the five sub-districts. And number three is the allowance of the five proposed off-site general advertising digital billboards within sub-district three. Some of you may have heard through council presentations regarding Indomitable's freeway digital signs. That is not part of this discussion, nor is it part of the special sign district. That is covered under Title 15, a completely separate ordinance. So moving to, I'm going to get you to the vicinity map here. So as you guys can see, Sacramento Rail Yard specific plan is also overlaid by the special planning district. The preliminary boundary is going to be outlined here in the dark dashed line, and it matches the special planning district in entirety. Staff recommends the creation of the five sub-districts, as you can see up here, with boundaries to provide flexibility regarding the signage type, placement, and the timing of those signs, also referred to as time, place, and manner. This strategy will allow each sub-district to follow independent timelines and requirements as all of these move forward. That'll minimize the disruption of the development schedules for these projects within each of the sub-districts. So the five sub-districts as shown above, and I'll start with the purple area first. That's the Sacramento Valley Station. Sub-district 2 is the historic shop that's in green. Sub-district 3 are the DRV-owned properties, and that's the beige color. Sub-district 4 is in the red. That's the Indomitable-owned properties. And then sub-district 5, which is the Kaiser-owned properties. Each sub-district will have its tailored signage regulations based on its uses and obligations under the term sheet where applicable. So currently the term sheet doesn't include the Kaiser. That's already gone through. I think you guys saw that several months back. So sub-district 3, the five digital billboards for DRV, that's inclusionary in this, and that's one of the prime components of sub-district 3. It helps kind of reinforce the financial component of DRV and their ability to build out the rest of that sub-district. What I'll show you here, a little bleached out, but I think we can get through this. The five digital billboards are located up here in purple. These are locations that the urban design manager has supported. And the final sign locations and sizes will be determined once the sign ordinance is adopted by City Council and the entitlements have been submitted for staff review. As for the balance of this, we're asking for, respectfully, requesting that the commission, by two-thirds vote of the members here, adopt a resolution recommending to City Council designate the Rail Yard Special Planning District as a special sign district, which, among other provisions, would allow for these digital signs within the newly established district. Thank you for your consideration. I'm here to answer questions, and I'm sure there's plenty on this because it is signage.
Thank you. Are there any speaker slips for this item?
Thank you, Chair. I have no speaker slips on this item.
Great. Any questions from the commission? Comments, motions? Sorry, let me get out of this. Ah, Vice Chair Chase.
You mentioned for the signs. Are those signs to be for wayfinding only, or are they available for advertising and revenue?
So they are open for general advertising for hire. So both standard billboard as well as wayfinding components into and out of the district, mostly into, because we want to bring folks into the space.
All right, thanks. Thank you, Chair.
Bye. Commissioner Blunt.
So am I understanding this correctly, that for the rail yards project to go forward and for like all of the hand wrangling that's happened over this, you know, the future of our city, right? I mean, this is a big deal. It's riding on signs.
I wouldn't say specifically it's running on signs. Is one component of the overall district. This is an important component because we, as staff, has looked at the district as a whole. So I'll go back one page here. Each one of these sub-districts, they have their own goals, and currently, current sign regulations don't allow for them to achieve some of those goals. And again, some of this is very nuanced. They haven't completely vetted out what they expect in each one of these districts. And knowing this is all handled by the C3 zone, the special sign district will allow for specific, you know, I'll use for an example, like a wayfinding device. So down at the street level, I know you may have seen around the city a couple of the, I don't know, about 5 foot high wayfinding devices. They're like a 2x2 pole, 4x4 pole. That kind of points out Memorial Auditorium, et cetera. So it will give them the ability to look at those things, much like we did with the Entertainment and Sports Center, the G1C location. We wrote a special sign district for there because those signs were never allowed before. And so we have that there, and we see this as another entertainment, you know, oriented location, with some exceptions. The hospital, not so much. But certainly around the stadium, there's going to be a want and a desire by Indomitable to bring more signage in. Same thing goes for historic shops. Again, these are all going to run out of their own timelines. They're all going to have their own specialties. So we're asking for the ability to create sign district itself, boundaries, blocking out sub-districts, and then we will eventually go through and build out each one of these sub-districts.
Cool. Well, thank you for laying that out, and I apologize if I came off as glib, but it's just...
It's okay, it's signage.
Right, yeah, totally. So just from a personal standpoint, you know, I don't want to do anything that's going to compromise the rail yards. I will say, though, I've lived in other cities. I'm not going to name them, not that they would take offense, but where there's been billboards on top of billboards on top of billboards, as far as the eye can see, and it's awful. Mm-hmm. And I do not want to see that happen here. My concern with this is that this is, you know, setting a precedent where that could wind up becoming the case. That this is specific to this project, and that, as you're describing, it's trying to tell people where Gate C is at the soccer stadium, as well as, you know, advertising the next Marvel movie. I can live with that, right? But I do want to say, like, going forward, I don't know how much support I'm going to be able to provide more billboards. So with that, I motion to pass this thing.
Commissioner Lummis.
Thank you, Chair.
Said Naibo,
so I know. I don't know where I'm assigned to.
Yeah.
Maybe over here. Thank you for the presentation. Also just had some clarifying questions. So just to confirm, what we're being asked, partly what we're being asked to do is to establish this special signage district. And it sounds like there's already some coordination as to how these five districts can operate based on the needs that they have. But by us formalizing the creation of the special district and these sub-districts, they can move forward on what they want to do specifically within those areas. Because what I'm hearing, because it sounds like those needs depend a lot, depending on where they're at in this district. So is that fair to say that we're creating the district, creating the sub-districts, and once that happens, they will then move forward to establish the minimum requirements on what can be allowed within those special sub-districts?
That's correct. So it's going to be broken up over time because each project has its own schedule. So by us breaking this up into the five sub-districts, that gives us time to go and work with the applicants, because Indomitable doesn't quite know yet what they want within their district. So that gives us time to work with them on that timeline. We will not be building out the entire sign code specifically for the special sign district after this is done, not immediately, but over time. It'll be fractional, just like each one of these districts are a fraction of the overall district.
Thank you for that clarification. I am kind of curious how they will overlap, and I think to my fellow commissioner here, Blunt, that I imagine we want them to be cohesive, right? So that one's area is not super bright, gets those approvals, and then the other areas get really bright signage, and then you just have a really bright area, you know. I imagine there is some consideration, I imagine, for how the overall district is going to establish their minimum requirements, even if one is being built out, you know, sequentially, you know, towards the next. Is that fair to say that there will be like an overriding kind of guidance as to the plan for the special district in terms of signage, even if just one is being built out at a time?
It's, I believe, you know, both Bruce and myself, we're pretty dedicated to this, and signage is such a tricky thing. In working with our attorneys to make sure that we find a balance within this overall, you know, burgeoning area, right? Mm-hmm. It's hopefully part of this will help it to explode. However, things like lighting, we've already got industry standards that we'll be placing into this, that we won't have an oversaturation of light. We won't have to worry about glare. We're going to be very cognizant of that as we write the ordinance. So right now, this is just the defined boundaries. And I think to Commissioner Blunt's, you know, concern about the number of digitals, what we're requesting right now is just the ability to put digitals within Subdistrict 3. So, and that's limited to 5. So that provides a little balance in all of this, and we still need to understand what the stadium will need, although they can work under a completely separate portion of the sign code specifically for the building itself.
Okay, thank you.
Legal counsel wants to provide a clarification.
So I just want to confirm, tonight they're just being asked to establish the outer boundary, not the individual sub-districts. This is just a procedural step. In April, the council asked staff to establish a sign district, and this is the first step under our city code that they must do, come to the Planning Commission to initiate the start of that process. So today is just the outer boundary, and then staff will have the freedom to begin working on it, and it looks like this is their first draft of the sub-districts, and you're going to go from there. But tonight, you're just being asked to establish the outer boundary.
So we're actually here for both the entire boundary as well as the boundaries of the five sub-districts as defined in the exhibits. And those are literally just the borders. The codes will come later, but it's the borders that we're working towards this evening, based off of what council's recommendation was. Direction, I should say.
Okay.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I'm thinking. I don't think it's the end of the world if we establish... No, I believe you're just doing the outer boundary today.
Should I take a 5-minute recess for you guys to converse? Would that help?
I'd be okay with that.
Okay, let's do a 5-minute recess.
Second recess of the evening.
Second
Thank
recess,
you.
5 minutes.
Staff, can we get 30 seconds on the clock and restart our live video stream?
We're back. I think we're going to get some clarification on what the approval will be for. So I think Courtney's got something for us.
Okay. So if the commission, again, it's a procedural step. You're initiating the sign district tonight. So if you want to do that and you want to include the sub-districts, we need to amend the resolution. So I will read language that if someone likes it, they can make a motion. So in lieu of the language that's currently there, hold on. Let me just pull it up so I have it in front of me. Okay, section one of the resolution. We're going to delete that, and it would now say, the Planning and Design Commission recommends to the City Council that the Rail Yard Special Planning District be designated as a special sign district with 5 sub-districts as shown in Exhibit A. Exhibit A will now be what's currently Attachment 3 to the staff report, which is the map and which includes the sub-districts. And that's what you would be approving, just that map tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have a motion? Do we want to make that motion now?
I will make the... We already have a motion from Commissioner.
Oh, so we need to put that... Do we need to renege on, like, pull that other original motion?
We want
a friendly amendment?
A friendly amendment.
Sounds great.
Okay.
Do you have a second to that? You have a second?
Second to sound great? We don't.
Second that. The amended.
Appreciate you.
Friendly Thank amendment. You. Yep. All right. We're good. Shall we proceed? Yeah.
I just want to, just for clarification, please, because I know that you've mentioned, Matthew, on earlier in your presentation, that you had mentioned something about the 5 locations in sub-district 5, sub-district 3. Now,
yes.
Now, is that have anything to do with tonight's motion, or is that off the table at this point?
Off the table.
Okay.
It's just about the boundary maps.
Just wanted to clarify that. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
All right. Let's proceed forward with the discussion. Commissioner Thompson.
I'll make it quick. And it's not a question, actually. It was more just a comment.
Discussion.
Because I was going to second, but we already did that. So within the sign district, and I think as a special sign district, this is a fantastic opportunity. This is such an upcoming, vibrant potential space. So I think doing something like this is well aligned. And I also see a lot of alignment with Sacramento's art community. And I know it was mentioned in the staff report that this has a potential. And as a recommendation, as this moves forward across the 5 districts that we're talking about, that we align something about art within each of these districts in utilizing these signs that are obviously for advertising purposes, but also maybe is there a way to ensure that there's art in it as well? That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Ortiz? Commissioner Reed? You're good. Okay. Commissioner Lamas? Is that you? Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Had some additional clarifying questions. And part of that was already kind of asked about the five billboards, but it sounds like we're not voting on those. The five billboards that were shown were just proposed locations for what may be moving forward at some point. I am curious, what would that process look like if the special district would be created? Would the special districts provide the oversight for the approvals of those billboards? Would they come to the Planning Commission? Would they go to the city? Can you talk a little bit more administratively as to what that would look like?
So currently with the ESC, all digital signs go through the design review director, i.e. The urban design manager. That comes in not at a staff level, but at a director level. We're going to have the discussion as to what level it continues to be as we continue building out the sign code itself for this area.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. That helps. And I do see the benefit of having a special sign district that tries to encompass the signage needs of the broader area and to try to keep them all aligned, as you mentioned, and meeting state standards and our local standards once those have been finalized and approved or established. So with that, that's all the questions I have, and I yield my time.
Thank you. Courtney?
One more. I'd like to request a friendly amendment to Commissioner Blunt and Ortiz's motion. If we could add to the resolution a table of contents, which is standard, and the attachment will be the map. It's just an administrative clerical thing we need to add to the resolution. Thank you.
Yes. All right. Any other
comments? One moment. I believe your microphone was off, if you could say that into the live
yes.
mic.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. I just have a couple quick clarifying questions. So what went into the rationale of those specific districts and how they were shaped? Could you maybe just fill us in a little bit on that?
So the overall composition of the districts are namely built by land ownership currently. So, of course, the blue, that is Kaiser's location. The red area is now currently in Dominables. The purple area down there, that's Sac Valley Station. That's all properties within that. And then the green area, number two, that's the Historic Central Shops location. Everything else are existing DRV-owned properties, and it felt appropriate to break these up based off of the connectivity between different locations, where we could allow specific signs, and how it complemented the experience as we're looking forward in the, you know, into the future build outs.
Got it. I wasn't too familiar. I understand there's a revenue sharing piece to this as far as with the signage. Plan.
There's no revenue sharing with this. This is very similar to what the ESC has in place. All the billboards, all digital within that area, that is wholly owned by the ownership group that oversees it. I guess they have the sign management district. So the city does not get a component of this.
Okay. Got it. Thank you. All right. We have a motion and a second. Will the clerk make the roll call?
Thank you, Chair. Members, please unmute your microphones. Commissioner Lee?
Aye.
Commissioner Tao?
Aye.
Commissioner Lamas?
Aye.
Commissioner Nybo has recused from this item. Commissioner Caden?
Aye.
Commissioner Hernandez?
Aye.
Commissioner Macias Reed?
Aye.
Commissioner Ortiz?
Aye.
Commissioner Blunt?
Aye.
Vice Chair Chase?
Aye.
Commissioner Reschke is absent. Commissioner Thompson?
Aye.
And Chair Young?
Aye.
Thank you. The motion passes by 2/3 vote.
Thank you. Clerk, are there any members of the public who wish to speak on public comments, not matters not on the agenda?
As this is a special meeting, we have no public comment for matters not on the agenda.
Thank you. Any commissioner comments, ideas, questions? Vice Chair Chase.
Thank you, Chair. I had a quick thought as we were going through this, a potential Coen Brothers movie, Five Billboards in Sacramento.
All right.
I yield.
All right, thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? All right, thank you. Meeting adjourned.